CJ, I wouldn't usually start a conversation with you talking about Eric Comrie. I think this is probably the first time one of our insider chats has started with Eric Comrie, but when you have as bizarre a 2019 as he's had, I think that's the way to start. Welcome back. It's Pinder and Steinberg and our NHL insider Chris Johnston from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. So do I have this right? He goes, claimed by Arizona from the Jets, traded from Arizona to Detroit, put on waivers by the Red Wings, and claimed again by the Winnipeg Jets, all in a matter of 2.5 months. Do I have that? Do I have that timeline correct?
You're bang on, and you know, let's call it the long way back home for Eric Comrie. You know, starting in Winnipeg in training camp and ending up there, you know, prior to the Christmas break. I mean, mixed in there as well, he started a game last weekend in Winnipeg with the Red Wings, which was his first actual game this season, because when Eric Comrie was down with Arizona, he was the third goaltender, essentially, and did work, obviously, with their goalie coach there and was part of practices and things like that, but he didn't actually get into a game. So that he's gone through those couple different stops, and he's, you know, really not played too much this year, and he's born anew, I guess, with the Jets organization, which, you know, I think it's probably a good place for him to end up. Obviously, there's comfort there for him. They know what they have in him, and you know, I'm assuming he's going to get in some games here for the Jets in the near future.
How does a year like that even happen? Like, how do you go through three teams and a couple of waiver claims and a trade? Like, is this guy's been a very highly thought of prospect at different times in his NHL career?
Yeah, I think it happens because he's not totally proven yet. But, you know, obviously just being 24 years old and, you know, having some pretty good results in the American Hockey League over the years, you know, he hasn't really performed that well in the NHL. I think he's only played 7 games, though. It's not even what we would call a sample size. He hasn't really had a chance to do it on too much of a level. And so, you know, I think it happens because this is the year where he needed waivers and obviously he got claimed rather than being able to go back and play for the Moose there, you know, the Jets farm team. But no one is feeling totally comfortable with them as their true number two. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see now what the Jets do, because I would presume they won't be putting him straight on waivers and trying to get him to the AHL, because there is the possibility they could lose him again. And so, you know, maybe he'll finally get, you know, at least a small run of games to see if the success he's had in the AHL can translate to the NHL.
It was actually yesterday was of all the days that we've seen waivers. You had Eric Comrie on waivers. You had Austin Zarnik on waivers. Stefan Nelson was on waivers. In terms of the actual big names, that was one of the bigger days. Is that all due to the holiday roster freeze, do you think? Why was yesterday a day where there were actually some pretty decent names put on waivers?
Yeah, I would think it's tied a little bit to the roster freeze. I mean, in the case of, you know, there's some individual situations there. Detroit is getting Jimmy Howard back, so, you know, they would have had three goaltenders and then, you know, want to get Eric Comrie either down to the minors or on another team before that roster freeze kicks in, because, you know, essentially you can't remove anyone from your roster from midnight tonight until early morning December 28th. So I think that was a little bit what was going on, plus just timing with those players coming back. It's funny. You know, had we talked yesterday, I would have thought that Austin Zarnik would have definitely been claimed. And obviously, he's the one guy of those three that ended up getting through waivers today. So, you know, it's still a bit of an unpredictable beast, the waiver wire. I think so much of it's, you know, just the timing of when someone goes on. I mean, sometimes a team suffers an injury, the night before and you know, is able to claim a guy. In this case, two of the three got claimed. And, you know, now we're basically all quiet unless there's a last-minute trade here in the next couple hours until after Christmas time.
So you were surprised that Zarnik didn't get claimed, hey?
Yeah, just because I think there's some skill there. And, you know, I know it's been a tough year and he's gone through an injury, but, you know, I just look around at a lot of teams, and some of them in Canada, that I feel like he would easily be among their 12 forwards today. Now, you know, it's not always that simple because some of those teams are dealing with roster size issues or cap-related issues. But, you know, the ability to add someone who can play in your top 12 and all you have to do is pay a small fee for the waiver claim, I mean, on one hand, you know, part of me just thinks it's a no-brainer. And you know, I would think a team like Edmonton, you know, could probably fit him in when I look at what they have in the bottom six, just off the top of my head. But, you know, he gets through and, you know, presumably get some games in the AHL, and, you know, maybe down the stretch for the Flames, he'll be back and, playing minutes, depending on what happens with injuries and the like.
He's our NHL insider, Chris Johnston, on Pinder and Steinberg every Tuesday and Thursday.
We talked about the Senators holding a major trade chip in Jean-Gabriel Pageot, potentially the centerman, off to a great start. Anthony Duclair is having a monster season as well. He's got Arbrights this summer as a restricted free agent. How similar or dissimilar are these two decisions and situations for the Sens and their respective career season players?
Well, the similarity is the obvious one. Both guys are having great years and are going to get raises, and Ottawa isn't typically a place that's handing those out. You know, obviously, we've seen in the past that players on the upshoot of their career have ended up having to play elsewhere because the Senators were willing to step up and pay the market value or negotiate with them. You know, this time around, there's a little bit more mystery with both those players and really anyone else, because I think, having gone through what they've gone through, Pierre Dorion really is not saying anything about where things are at. I think he's asked the agents in this case to keep things close to the vest. So it's hard to get a real good read at this point in time about whether they're going to extend those guys or trade them. I think, obviously as we get closer to the deadline, we'll know one way or another, because if he's talking to other teams about trading someone like a Pageot or even Anthony Duclair, that's going to find its way into our information cycle, pretty quickly once other teams are involved. But, they're interesting cases. I think, with Pageot, is a local guy. I grew up in Gatineau, just across from Ottawa. I spent his whole career there. I think even for the PR of it, they're going to want to keep him. But, his season's so out of nowhere. I mean, it's a comet in the sky when you compare it to the way he scored in the past. The fact that he's pushing 20 goals already. I think with Duclair, there's actually a little bit more of a proven commodity here. He's younger. He did have a 20-goal season earlier in his career. Obviously, this one is going to end up well beyond that because he's almost there now. But given that he's an RFA, I think that he's probably the more likely of the two to stick around. And, I think there's a bunch of teams out there that I know actually have been scouting Pageot and love the idea of him as a rental. And so, my feeling is, purely based on just feel as opposed to something anyone's told me with direct knowledge, is that, he's going to be a valuable rental piece, and I could see him being traded, at deadline time. And maybe if Ottawa wants to try to bring him back as a free agent, that might be something they could do in July.
Boy, they got a ton of space. We're talking about like $40 million projected cap space for next year. Now they only got a couple forwards under contract for next year, but it's that's an interesting one to watch, because, as you alluded to, the recent history has been rough for them. And yet the owner and GM have talked about a window where they expect to return to Stanley Cup form, and it was not way down the road that they were projecting that.
Right, and then they did extend Thomas Chabot, to be fair. I mean, they gave him an 8-year extension during training camp, and then he's just in the last year of his entry-level deal now. So, they have signed some guys to those type of contracts. It's just, I don't all of a sudden see them giving out a bunch of heavy deals. The Pageot one, it almost, for me, if you're him, it probably makes more sense to go to the market, just because, I think at his stage in his career, he's unlikely to have a set of circumstances that are with him today, where he's in a career season and, he has a chance to go to market and really cash in. That to me feels like a UFA case. I think Duclair, having been now through four other teams, appreciates what he has in Ottawa, appreciates the opportunity. It's really worked well for both sides there. So I think he's probably more likely to stay when the dust settles on these.
Other trade candidates out there that you've heard? I'm still sort of wondering how many chips the LA Kings will move and how serious Alec Martinez's issues are. It sounds like he's close to returning.
It does. And they're going to be the big seller. I think we could call it that. Even with New Jersey trading Taylor Hall, Ray Shiro's said that he doesn't want to, go participate in a mass sell-off here. I think most other teams are either going to be too close to the bubble to think about that or be a team like the Detroit Red Wings, which is right near the bottom of the standings, but really doesn't have that many pieces, I think, that would bring enough value that we could call what they do a fire sale. I think LA is in a different spot. They've really been at this since last Christmas, where they about a year ago now, they sort of decided to change direction. They ultimately traded Jake Muzzin and have made some other moves to get younger, and I think they want to continue that process. I mean, to me, Tyler Toffoli will have value. He started to play a little better recently. you know, one of the problems for him earlier in the year is he just was not very productive, didn't look good out there. But, you know, he's still only 27 years old and is a pending UFA. So, you know, I think he's a classic trade deadline piece that will be moved. I think there'll be some value. You know, Trevor Lewis's name is out there. Martinez is about them. I think the one guy they'd like to keep that's a veteran is Kyle Clifford, but, you know, teams would probably like to get him, that, you know, the kind of teams that feel like they can go on a long playoff run and just might want a little bit of what he brings. But, you know, I do think that LA is poised to be the team that controls the market to some degree, because, you know, now that Taylor Hall's gone, I don't know how many pieces will move prior to the deadline that we consider big names or impact, you know, truly big impact players that change hands. I don't see a lot out there with so many of the UFAs being on really good teams, you know, the Alex Petrangelos, Torrey Krug, you know, these type of guys. I just don't expect to be moved, you know, even though they're likely to remain unsigned as of February 24th. And so we have a little bit of a different trade market shaping up than we've had in years past.
You mentioned the Devils and Ray Sherrow saying this isn't a fire sale. The one guy I would be the most curious about is Sammy Vatanen, a right shot D-man who's up this summer, 28 years of age, and I believe can play both sides of a blue line, which isn't too common these days. From his comments, would you rule out a Vatanen trade, or do you still think that's an obvious one given the contractual status?
I think that one's obvious. You know, even though at this point in time they don't want to entertain those talks, I do know teams have called or inquired, or, you know, obviously he's on the radar just because, you know, there's not usually a lot of impact or even semi-impactful defensemen available, and I think he qualifies as one. And if you're New Jersey, I mean, what's the point of holding on to him once you get into February if teams are calling and if there is a market there to get something back in return? And, you know, he doesn't feel like, again, the kind of guy that it's going to make sense for him to really think about resigning in New Jersey. I mean, anything's possible. But, you know, I think that he's someone that, you know, is probably in a good position when it comes to free agency to, you know, to be moved and then to go test the market again in July. And so, you know, I think maybe what one thing Ray Sherrow was trying to do was point out that there were some unique circumstances at play with Hall. It, you know, doesn't necessarily say everything about where they're headed as an organization, but, you know, I still think when all is said and done, he's going to get rid of Vatanen and maybe even a little bit more than that before the deadline, just because I think it's a prudent thing to do if you're managing the team.
CJ, Holiday Freeze is tonight, midnight Eastern, or just before midnight Eastern tonight, right?
Yeah, it's actually midnight local, which is
a weird,
you know, asterisk, because it means if you're the Leafs, they, you know, passes at midnight Eastern, but maybe the Flames could sneak a trade in afterwards. I mean, I think it's unlikely, but, you know, if two of the Pacific time zone teams want to make a deal really late, just before midnight in their time zone, they could do so.
Is it, like, do you get the sense this is any type of pressure point at all, or is this just one of those things that we kind of get used to on a yearly basis? Like, are you hearing a lot of buzz ahead of the Freeze tonight?
You know, I think you hit the nail on the head with the waivers, that there's a pressure point there because, you know, you're the last chance essentially to subtract players from your roster is today. So anyone you want to send down would have to clear waivers, you know, been put on yesterday and cleared it today. I don't really feel like for the trades it's quite the same pressure point, although who knows? I mean, something again could happen in one of the games tonight before midnight that could change that. I mean, it would be unusual. It's not something that you come to expect every year, but, you know, this is it's a unique period when you think about it. There's not too many 10-day windows, essentially, where you can't add players or remove players, rather, from your roster during the NHL season. And so, you know, it could become a pressure point, but I don't get the sense there's much in the air right now.
NBA always does a big showcase on Christmas Day, I believe, a double or triple header. Like, it's a massive day. Is the NHL comfortable or the PA not willing to move? What makes sense about the agreement between these two sides on this sports shutdown, albeit not a huge window? I know specifically for the Flames, they'll have 3 days where they don't play.
Yeah, you know, I don't get the feeling the players want to see a change. Now, look, they're in low-key CBA negotiations, and maybe if the league is offering something up in return, that we could see that change. I mean, it was actually the last agreement that the NHLPA got an extra day tacked onto this holiday window. So 24th, 25th, and 26th, they're all days where teams aren't supposed to be holding mandatory activity, teams aren't even supposed to fly on the 26th, even if they play the 27th. You know, it's something that, you know, I think the players like getting that little break in there. And so, you know, I don't think it's in the air that it will change. But, you know, never say never. I'm sure in our lifetime we're going to see a change. I just don't think it's coming anytime soon. And especially when that's one of the, you know, one of the smaller gains, I guess you could say, the players got out of the last round of bargaining.
Final thought for you, CJ, and I just wanted a thought from afar on the Vegas Golden Knights as they went through their struggles a few weeks ago, but have seemingly got out of that in a fairly large way. They've won three straight. They've won seven of their last 10. Probably shouldn't be overly surprised that Vegas has figured things out, should we?
I wouldn't say so. You know, they were one of the teams that had pretty strong underlying numbers even when the results weren't there. I do think, though, that there was a real... crisis would be a strong way to put it. I was going to say crisis of confidence just because it's a saying. But, you know, there was some real concern around their team, though, you know, at the early part of November when they went through some struggles. They lost five or six in a row at one point. That actually ended the game. The Calgary was in town. But even after they beat the Flames, they kind of went up and down a little bit. And I do know that there was some worry in their organization about, you know, the status of their blue line. You know, at that point in time, Malcolm Subban was struggling, so they really only had Marc-Andre Fleury going, although, you know, Subban has since picked up a couple wins and played better. You know, I do think that this is a team that should fashion itself as a contender, but, you know, I think that they'll be one of the teams that do look to make some moves, you know, prior to the trade deadline, because as good as they are, you know, I think that they understand there's probably some holes to patch there. And so, you know, I'm with you. I view them as a very good team. But they've really, it's been a strange season. A lot of the teams we had pegged as contenders have had some long down periods so far in the first, you know, nearly half a season, and they're included among that. And I'm sure that everyone's sleeping a little better there now, because it was some tense times, I think, a few weeks ago with the Golden Knights, and they've come out of it pretty strong on the other side.
Thanks, CJ. We'll talk to you Tuesday.
All right, boys. Look forward to it.
Chris Johnston, brought to you by McLeod Trail Midas. Save some cash and skip the dealer. Bring your vehicle into McLeod Trail Midas, a full-service shop. Check out their Facebook page or schedule an appointment at midas.com.